Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and the show is Earnestly Speaking. We're on LI News Radio 103.9, and we're talking to Bob Schultz. Bob Schultz is he's made himself an expert in the constitutions of the federal and the state governments, and has won a number of cases where people have been in violation of those statutes. Bob, we were talking about the SAFE Act. I just wanted to get a clarification what it was. And that, you say, was in, declared unconstitutional, or you didn't get there yet?
No. There are 1,259 plaintiffs in the case, all pro se, what's called pro se, or without attorneys, all representing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the lead plaintiff, and there are many plaintiffs from Nassau and Suffolk County down your way. And so we've asked the court to declare the SAFE Act to be in violation of both the state and federal constitutions. There are two provisions of our state constitution that we claim the SAFE Act violates. We have, for instance, a provision in our state constitution that says, it mandates, that all bills that are going to the legislature must be on their desks for at least 3 days before final passage, unless there's a message from the governor stating the facts which, in his opinion, require earlier passage. Now, when that provision was added to the Constitution, it was that waiver was to cover natural or man-made emergencies. Sometimes it's just not practical to have the legislature wait 3 days before they act on some bill.
But it sounds like a place where fungibility occurs.
Exactly. So that waiver, that message of necessity, it's called, waiver, has been abused, not just by this governor, but by a number of prior governors. And so what they do is on all controversial bills and all what they call governor's program bills, these are bills the governor introduces and wants passed. They're important to him for political or other reasons. He wants them passed. And so they've been going to the legislature on the last day,
yeah,
and getting them passed, as was the case with the SAFE Act.
Well, you know that I'm politically active down here, and I ask a lot of questions of people of importance or in elected positions. I've never been able to ask this question of this governor because he speaks and walks out the back door. You ever noticed that? He never answers any questions.
Not only that, but the word is out. All those working for the executive branch are under some sort of gag order. They are very strict controls against or governing conversations with the press, for instance. So there's a severe lack of transparency in this administration.
You know, I voted for this governor because the Republicans put up a guy who was, in my opinion, a little unbalanced. And, you know, when are the Republicans going to get their act together and make some, you know, make a real competitive race?
Don't know. I avoid political questions, Ernie. I'm grateful that we in America get to elect those who would wield governmental power over us. And we should all vote and we should all do our due diligence. But my political views are mine. And what I focus on
is the elements of the law,
is the rule of law. And if we lose the rule of law and it gets replaced.
Well, wait a minute.
I'm a rule of whim.
I'm a beneficent. I'm a beneficent ruler, and I can be trusted.
Yeah, right. No way. Never.
Why? My kids like me.
A beneficent dictator. Never happens.
Benevolent, I think they use that term.
Yeah, okay.
But no, but that's the attitude. You know, trust me. I don't think I should trust anybody in power. Power is a corrupting force.
Yeah.
And the idea is that you got to challenge them all the time. And I'm glad you're taking them to the, you know, the barn once in a while and
Well, we have an organization, and we encourage people to go to our website. It's We the People of NY. New York is not spelled out. We the People of NY.org. And based, you know, a solution, I'm an engineer by training. So a solution is only as good as the definition of the problem. And we're at the point where I'm convinced that we need to hold government accountable without relying on elections or judges. And there is a way to do that, using the last 10 words of the First Amendment, a right to petition the government for a redress of grievances, and it's a right that's guaranteed by our state constitution as well as every other state constitution. And so there is a plan that we are promoting, and we held our first meeting on this, public meeting on this, to gauge the interest. And it was last Sunday at the Touro Law School, Law Center, rather.
Where, on Long Island?
Central Isla, right.
Yeah.
Just this past Sunday. And it was well received. And so I'll be on the road really promoting this and the experiment. We have devised an experiment, and it deals with the lack of civic education and the violation by the government of this education law that I spoke about earlier, you know, where it's required that the history, meaning, effect, and significance of every provision of our state constitution
you
be
know,
taught.
I don't know. I'm assuming that you had history in school had the same effect on you as it did on me. It was one of the most interesting things.
I loved history, right.
And it's not, it was interesting, but it was essential.
Yeah. Yeah. And right, because if you don't learn from history, you're bound to repeat it, right? So, but yeah, but no one, as much as I enjoyed history and couldn't get enough of it, I did not know that there was a state constitution until I was 51 years old. Amazing.
Yeah.
And republicanism. I bought this book when I became interested in the thoughts and the writings of the founding fathers. I settled on Jefferson. I just picked him. And I was down at Monticello in Virginia, his home, and there was a bookstore there, and there's a book called The Constitutional Thought of Thomas Jefferson. And the first four chapters had to do with republicanism, small r,
yeah.
The philosophy, not the party, the philosophy. And there it all is. Those are the essential principles underlying our system of governance, and
when
they're
you say
taught.
When you say republicanism, what is that definition in your mind?
Well, it's the it's individualism, self-reliance, limited government, government controlled, government limited by written our written constitution. It's the rule of law that governs. It's all of those essential principles.
Well, then you must be as pissed off as I am when when people send our young men to war without a declaration of war.
Yeah, well, there's a provision in our, as you well point out, there's a provision in the state constitution. It's the War Powers Clause, and it prohibits the application of the armed forces of the United States and hostilities overseas without the approval of our elected representatives. Okay, and their authorization. So look at what happened in Iraq, right? The war drums were beating. Somebody said, well, wait a minute, doesn't Congress have a say here?
No, they don't. They're just kind of hanging out and talking about birth control or something else. Or...
Yeah, well, the White House sent the Iraq resolution over to Congress, and what did it say? And Congress passed it. But what did it say? They said, President, it's your decision. If you want to go in there, you know, that's your decision.
Well, I was a labor leader once, and we used to get votes like that to go on strike. But I don't think the consequences were the same as putting 4,000 people
right.
in their
But
graves.
We also have money clauses. We have a very unsound currency, and we have money clauses that are being violated. There was a big battle between the Hamiltonian forces, and the Jefferson forces when the Constitution was being adopted. Hamilton wanted a central bank. Jefferson said no. Jefferson's forces won, and the Constitution did not authorize a central bank like the Federal Reserve. And, of course, along the way, we're now with our third one. The first two failed. They were adopted, and they worked and for a while, and then they failed.
But, you know, I can come to the conclusion that I can have a difference of opinion with you on a lot of things, but I can find myself agreeing with much of what you're saying, and I'm very sympathetic to what you're saying.
Well, it's about the rule of law. If we, Ernie, if we don't like it, change it.
Yeah.
But we don't change the law in this country. We shouldn't. By ignoring it, which is what's happening. And so we're replacing the rule of law with the rule of whim.
Bob, I'm sorry that I didn't allocate more time for you today than we already did, because we're coming to the end of this segment, and I'd love to have you back sometime in the future. I hope you'll be...
Anytime, Ernie.
That's great.
Thanks for having me.
This is Ernie Fazio. We're listening to Bob Schultz, and he has opinions on things that are very important. And this is Earnestly Speaking on Long Island News Radio 103.9.